So it's a great honor to be together with you this morning and to be able to share the Lord's Word, especially over the next 2 hours. Did I say 2 hours? I meant 3 hours. Sorry, Carrie. Well, in all seriousness, time goes by so fast when we're worshiping and praising the Lord. So with that, let's get started. So in 2001, Lifeway Christian Resources surveyed more than 1,300 evangelical leaders to determine what they perceive is the top 10 issues facing the church today. And no surprise from the topic of my sermon today, the number one reason was prayer. And the reason it was is that they had on their hearts that there's a need for more intimate and passionate prayer time in our personal lives and in our church lives. In 2024, Christ News Today published a survey of around 7,500 Christians regarding their prayer habits. The key takeaways: about 10% of those aged 18 to 30, 30% of those aged 30 to 50, and 37% for those over 50 years old was the percent of what they prayed daily. And then when they looked at how often do you pray each day, the average time was 5 to 10 minutes. And those statistics are significantly below where they were 5 years ago. So a trend that a lot of the pastors have expressed a concern about. The other thing that they did is they asked the respondents to note what's the primary obstacles to more prayer impacting these results. And the results were twofold. One, being too busy or a lack of priority. And two, unsure what to pray, how to pray. Maybe some of us here today, or even all of us to some degree, can to relate to these obstacles to prayer. I'm hoping today to encourage you, to equip you with some scripture, with some models, with some tips that may help all of us better address these obstacles. And I'm hoping that the Lord stir in you a desire for more powerful, intimate, and consistent prayer in our lives. So first, I want to address, should prayer be a priority in our lives? Well, let's see what the Bible says. The words pray or prayer appear in about 300 to 550 times in the Bible, depending on your translation, with approximately 650 distinct prayers explicitly recorded in the Bible. So prayer is clearly a priority and focus in the Bible, from the beginning in Genesis 4:26 to the end in Revelation 8:3. The importance and significance of prayer are best exemplified in the life of Jesus. He's our perfect model and example that we can look to. There was never a moment in his earthly ministry that he wasn't in the spirit of prayer. Jesus especially prayed before every important and significant decision. Some examples I'll quickly share. Jesus began his ministry in prayer in Luke 3:21, and all the translations that I use are going to be from the NIV. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying, heaven was opened. Jesus also knew the power of private prayer, praying in solitude in the wilderness. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus was never too busy to pray, although so many demanded his time. In Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed all night before choosing the 12 disciples. Another reminder that difficult decisions should be saturated in prayer. Before his betrayal and crucifixion, Jesus knelt alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he do? He prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Jesus also prioritized prayer in the church. He proclaimed, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations?" That was in Matthew 21:13. He said it with conviction, and he said it with passion. Prioritizing prayer means prioritizing God himself and his plans and his desires above that of man. Everything else that occupies any of his churches, time and energy, will be lacking in power and blessing and the fragrance of God's presence if its prayer is not kept first and foremost. Here's a thought to consider, thought to ponder. Wouldn't we all worship better, read and study scripture better, fellowship better, evangelize better, give better, share better, forgive better, love better, and treat each other better if we were first humbling ourselves, confessing our sins, seeking God's presence, and asking God's Spirit to fill us by submitting ourselves to him in prayer and making prayer a greater priority in our daily and personal lives? What do you all think? I think if it was important enough to Jesus, that it should be a priority and important to us as well. Second thing I'd like to look at is, how do we pray? What are different ways that we can pray? Is there no better way than to look at the Lord's model prayer? I'm sure this is something we're all familiar with. Luke chapter 11, 1 notes, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." The Lord's Prayer, which I'm sure all of us are familiar with, is both a specific prayer. You can pray it, you can recite it, but it's also a foundation and a template on how to pray. The more familiar scripture of the Lord's Prayer is recorded in Matthew 9 through 13, which I'll just quickly go through. We'll have a handout later that addresses some of this. But all you know is it starts like this: Our Father in heaven. And that's meaning our Abba Father in heaven is in total control of all circumstances and all our concerns. Hallowed be your name. Noting God's name is holy, as we were singing this morning, holy, holy, holy. And he deserves the highest adoration and praise. Your kingdom come, which addresses the call to spread the good news of the kingdom through sharing the gospel with the lost. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that God clearly shows us. Let's pray that he clearly shows us his will for our life, each and every one of our lives, and we obediently follow it. Pray that your will does not conflict with God's, but rather aligns with it. Give us today our daily bread. It highlights that God knows every one of our needs, and we rely on him for our provision, trusting God for the present. And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. This addresses confession of our sin, request for forgiveness, but God also wants us to forgive others first. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, which notes expectation of God's providential guidance, asking him to help us have victory over these temptations. Many or most of us have probably committed that prayer to memory, and it's an excellent model. But note, it's very common for people, and it's common for me. Personally, I struggle with this, and it's a challenge to slip into what I'll call prayer ruts, or even autopilot sometimes, where the Lord's Prayer is just merely recited by memory, rather than broken down and prayed from the heart. Jesus warns against vain repetitions, emphasizing that the attitude and intention of the heart matter more than the words themselves. If praying this prayer becomes stagnant, well, there's different ways that we can expand on this. We can enjoy our time with the Lord. You can pray it slowly. Pray it more slowly instead of rushing through the prayer. And I know I do this sometimes. Slow down to meditate and reflect on each individual petition, which is why I broke it down the way that I did, so we could meditate on each one before moving to the next. You can also just spend a day on each section. Rather than reciting the whole prayer at once, break it down into a daily focus for each section. You can even change the order. You can change the structure. As an example, you can start with praise and confess a specific struggle. You can bring your request, and you can end with surrender. You can change the order. You can change the words. Let it be in your words. Let it be from your heart. Another highly popular prayer model that I wanted to raise was, and it's used across a wide group of Christian denominations, is ACTS, which many of you may know, or ACTS. I'm going to spend a little time unpacking that. There'll be a handout on this also at the end of the service. It's derived from the Lord's Prayer and from other scripture, especially from some of the Psalms. So the A stands for adoration, C is for confession, T is for thanksgiving, and S is for supplication. So why don't we break these down a little? Let's start with adoration. And this is what we were started with this morning when we were praising the Lord. But this is an area that I don't think we focus on as much as the Lord would like us to. I know I'm guilty of that. So this is praising, worshiping, honoring, and exalting God for his goodness, his mercy, his love, his power, and his majesty. Be filled with the wonder of who God is. Let's step back. Let's focus on his character, his attributes, and his holiness. We sing holy, holy, holy. Let's focus on those attributes. He is holy. It's an expression of love and trust. It helps us come into God's presence. Let our hearts really come into an appreciation for him. When we do this, it aligns our heart with God's. As proclaimed in Psalm 68:35, one of my favorites, praise be to God. When we catch a glimpse of how awesome God really is, our hearts will just naturally turn to him in adoration. Jesus affirms the importance of the adoration in his teaching, which I had just mentioned, which is, Father, hallowed be your name. I've also found that most of us don't generally focus on this on a daily basis. It feels awkward sometimes. And we tend to confuse it, I think, sometimes with a spirit of thanksgiving. And I just want to clarify, our adoration is about who God is, while thanksgiving is about what God has done. And there's a huge difference. Some practical tips, okay, how do we do this adoration thing if we're not used to doing it? Well, here's a few tips. We can praise God from A to Z, which is easy, creative way to worship. You can quite simply just begin with the words that start with the letter A. You could say, God, you are amazing. Keep worshiping him with all the words that you can think of that begin with the letter A. Then you can continue that same day or subsequent days and go through the rest of the alphabet till you hit Z. And then after that, you can start it all over again. And then you can start building a vocabulary of praise words for the Lord. Like for A, you can start with almighty, awesome, all-powerful, attentive. I think you get the idea. Another one, and this is one of my favorites, you can focus on one attribute each day using scripture-based sentences, which I'll call praise starters. An example for one day, which I like, is my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. And that's from Psalm 62:7. You might even turn to the many names of God that you find throughout Scripture and praise him, such as Yahweh, which translates to I am who I am, or Adonai, which translates to Lord or Master, or Abba, which is an intimate term for Father, signifying a close and loving relationship with the Lord. Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, meaning the beginning and the end, which declares God's eternity and sovereignty. It's so important to begin our prayer time with our eyes and our hearts focused and fixated on God. Because as it says in Psalm 96, we were created to glorify him. God delights in our praises. Personally, I found this type of worship focus, especially when I begin my time with the Lord, to reinvigorate my desire and my heart for prayer. A few of my favorite adoration prayers are, Lord, you are Emmanuel, God with us. Glory to you, Holy Spirit. You are eternal, all-powerful God, and you come to dwell inside me. This is my favorite. You are the God Almighty. Before you, I praise and proclaim you holy, holy, holy. Next, let's turn to confession. Now that we've acknowledged with our heart and mind who God is, we can acknowledge who we are and where we've fallen short, confessing not only our sins, but our need for God to empower us to repent and transform. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your sinfulness and a need for God's mercy and grace. Name to God the particular sins you need forgiveness for at that moment. Admit and confess so that your prayers won't be hindered. We don't want anything getting in the way of our quiet time with the Lord. Be specific. Avoid generalizing sin. List everything that comes to mind. And when you've exhausted that, go back to God and say, ask him to search your heart and reveal any hidden sin overlooked. And especially ask if there's any person or persons that you need to forgive. A prayer of confession is a searching prayer of the heart. Indeed, the Bible assures us in Luke 11:4 that sincere confession before God will be met for forgiveness. Amen. That's what he died on the cross for. We cannot really grow closer to God when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, as these sins act as a barrier and impedes our communion with him. I also personally like to ask God for awareness, help, and strength to turn away from future temptations. Seeing prayer sometimes is an option prior to my temptations. And that is really powerful when you do that. Sort of surprised sometimes what he puts on my heart, but it's a powerful prayer. Next, we'll turn to thanksgiving. As mentioned earlier, in adoration, our focus is on God, who he is, and our worship of him. But when we get to thanksgiving, our focus is on what he's done. Blessings for us, blessings for others, answered prayers, and this one that's hard sometimes, but even difficult circumstances that are refining us. Let's bring an attitude of gratitude into our prayer life. God's word is filled with over 100 verses on thanksgiving and gratitude. This is a time, a special time, to thank God for the gifts and blessings in our lives. Notice the gifts that we take for granted. I take these for granted all the time, both the big and the small. Take the time to reflect on what he's done in our lives and thank him for such things as our lives, our health, our families, our faith. Thanking God for his steadfast love, his salvation, forgiveness, protection, and provision. As we pray, and I just want to preach, as we pray, God will use our gratefulness to change our perspective. And believe me, when we're in a heart of thanksgiving, it changes our perspective on everything. Giving thanks to God is an expression of faith, and faith pleases God. Give thanks to him in all circumstances, as noted in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I just want you to just ponder a thought here. If we have just confessed our sins to the Father and received his forgiveness, well, then thanksgiving will be a very natural thing for us to do. And then we do it over and over again. It becomes more and more natural. I guess that many of us, especially me, underestimate what God's done for me and my family. And I think it's more than we all probably realize. But remember, no matter our circumstances, we all have plenty of reasons to be thankful. One of the things I like to personally do that I recommend, and I want to recommend here today, and I know it's been recommended before by Pastor Carey, is to make it a goal to thank the Lord for at least 3 to 5 unique things each day, ranging from specific instances in your day to even the broader gifts, really taking the time to appreciate our good, good Father. Pastor Carey also shared with me his encouragement to all of you to maintain a gratitude journal and then list those 3 areas or more of thanksgiving each day. That is powerful. I encourage you, if you haven't started that, to please start it. And if you started it but you don't do it every day, keep trying and keep attempting to do that. And I want to just say a quick few words about journaling. It's hard. It's a struggle for me, but it has been a life changer in my prayer life. Journaling and writing our prayers provide several benefits. It includes a deeper focus and clarity. It puts pen to paper, which slows down our racing minds. My mind never stops racing. I need to slow down. It prevents us from repetitive prayers. It forces us to be specific. By writing down our requests, we can look back weeks or months or even years later and see clear, undeniable evidence of God's work in our life. It helps us remember that. This also builds a rhythm of gratitude. And journaling helps us release pent-up thoughts, lowering our anxiety, and bringing peace by removing the burdens of us trying to control every outcome ourselves, but then putting them on the Lord. Some examples of prayer that I prayed this week. Thank you, Lord. And I think we all would pray this together. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of Fawn Lake and the blessing it is to live here and enjoy your creation, to enjoy the community, all these wonderful people, and all the others that are in our community, and all the amenities and the beauty, and it all goes to your glory and honor, Lord. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me this week through your scripture in Matthew at just the right time, with just the right verses, and in just the right way so I could understand it and help me to apply it. And I thank you, Lord, for your provision. Last one I want to touch on in Acts is supplication, and this is prayer request. Now, notice in this section, it comes last. It's intentional. For some of us, this section may be the only area that we tend to focus our prayers on. And that's okay some days, but it's also important that we reflect and we spend time in the other areas I've touched on. After going through adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, I've often found that everything, even my prayer requests, change. My selfish requests that were all about me are replaced with a God-given and God-desired perspective on what to ask for. My heart is more aligned with God, with God's heart, by asking for things that are according to his character and are according to his will. Supplications are often divided between 2 types of prayer requests that we make for ourselves, which is petitions, which I think we're also familiar with, but also requests for others, on behalf of others, which is intercession. Lift your cares, your needs, your concerns to the God, to our great, great Father, including difficult areas in our lives. Be specific, but be humble. Approach him with reverence. Approach him with humility. Ask God to show you who and what to pray for today and each day. Anything that concerns you concerns God. The Apostle Paul encouraged us to make supplications to all the saints. Also, I want to just note, let God's word, Scripture, guide you and ground you in your prayers. I don't know if that's something you do. I want to encourage you, include Scripture, pray the Scripture, recite the Scripture. Praying God's word by reading or reciting it, it prevents distraction. It reroutes prayer ruts, builds confidence that we are praying God's will. It gives us words we may be struggling with. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Scripture helps us with that. And it increases, and I know it has for me, it increases my love for God. They keep our prayers steadfast and consistent, anchored in bedrock truths. We can pray with confidence that no request is too big or too small for God. Everything we need is in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul encourages believers to offer prayers of supplication to God in Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. I do want to just note that despite the popularity of using the Lord's Prayer and Acts, I do want to remind you that these aren't the only models that you can use or guides that you can use for prayer. Many folks use the pray model. Just pray, repent, ask, and yield. Some use the Tackles model, thanksgiving, adoration, confession, others, self. There's many others. But one thing I realized with looking at all of them, they all have consistent parts to it. And sometimes the order is different, but the focus is the same. And so whatever model or guide or aid you may be using, I continue to use it and even experiment with some other ones. I also want to highlight that the Psalms and other scriptural prayers rarely follow the exact orderly progression of these models. They often focus heavily on just one element at a time, and that's something you can do too. These approaches are not meant to be rigid blueprints or for us to have canned prayers, but rather they're methods and guides to help us build into a more beautiful and more intimate prayer time. Don't miss the relationship between you and us and the Father. The order can be changed at any time. Sometimes I'll go into a prayer, I just do the entire time in thanksgiving, or maybe just confession, or maybe just praise. And lastly, I want to touch on, what does prayer mean to me at its core? I'd ask you to reflect after this in your prayer time. Think about what does prayer really mean in your core? I was asked this on a recent prayer podcast, and I want to share with you what my response was. At its core, I believe prayer is sincere, intimate, relational communication between a person and God, serving as a two-way connection rather than merely a one-way monolithic or ritualistic act. It involves pouring out one's deepest desires, emotions, gratitude, praise, confessions, whether it's verbal or nonverbal. It covers our thoughts and actions towards God, as well as the words that we speak to our Creator. Some of the core foundations of prayer I'll just share with you quickly is the relational connection. I don't want you to miss this, because prayer is about intimacy, seeking to know God's heart, His desires, and His character. And it's heartfelt communication, which I would describe as a child's conversation with a father, where it requires openness and honesty and vulnerability. Spiritual breathing, which is the desire to seek God's face and be in God's constant presence. And when I'm in that space, it just brings me comfort. It brings me hope, and it brings me peace. Ability to speak and listen, and this is a hard one for me, the listen part. True prayer includes silence and patience to listen for God's response, His guidance, and His direction. God may speak to us in many different forms. It could be through prompts, scripture, songs, impressions, pictures, sermons, or many other means. Many times, we just need to wait in silence. Give it time. It may not even be in those moments that you're with the Lord. Be patient. Continue to keep praying. Continue to read and study scripture. But when God does call, we need to respond eagerly, excitedly, and obediently. However, as in all relationships, spending time with our Heavenly Father in prayer, it's hard work. It's not easy. And it requires devotion, and it requires commitment, and it requires a pattern for prayer. There is no substitute for overcoming the objections and having scheduled prayer time. So that's the first thing that I just want to share with you for some guidelines. Make it a priority. And also learning to pray spontaneously throughout the day. Two, find a private space and quiet place to pray. I was just talking earlier. Have your prayer closet. I think that was mentioned before. Find that special place where it's uninterrupted time that you can have. Comfortable space where you can pray quietly or you can pray out loud. Set a realistic prayer schedule. Don't set a goal that's too high. Start and continue with a goal you can reasonably attain and maintain. Be as consistent as possible. Consistency is more important than length. Start with 3 to 5 minutes, and then you'll see where your prayer time takes you. It may take you then to 10 minutes or 30 minutes as you grow in your prayer life. However, it's okay to miss some days. It's okay to have your times vary each day. God understands. God just wants to be in communion with you. Regardless of how and when you pray, if you give God the space, He will touch your soul and He will bless you. Prayer requires us to be still, quiet, humble, dependent, and honest before our holy God. I view prayer as a gift and a privilege from our Father. He loves us unconditionally, and He chooses to communicate with us and have a deep relationship. He wants to show Himself to us, mighty in our lives, and intercede on our behalf time and time and time again. He wants to hear from us. And how do we do that? He wants to engage with us. How do we do that? We do it through prayer. I'm always so excited and so passionate and so blessed to be in His presence. I love prayer. I love spending time in prayer alone, and small group prayer, and corporately. Remember that a clear answer might not come right away or in the way that you expect, but God is always listening. He is always listening, and He does respond. The more you pray and spend time with Him and His Word, the more you will get to know Him as who He is. And you get to see Him at work. There's just nothing better than experiencing God's presence in your life and seeing Him at work. As we grow in our love for Jesus Christ, we will naturally desire to talk to Him more. So I want to thank you this morning for this blessed opportunity to be with you, to share some thoughts regarding prayer. I'll have a closing prayer later in benediction.